Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with them. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, good evening, everyone. One of the difficult things about being a priest is sometimes there's just so much to say, and you know that if you give everybody everything at once, it's like giving them a drink from a fire hose. And so I have to resist the temptation to talk about all the different aspects of this reading and just kind of focus on one something that may be more meaningful to you. And so tonight, what I want to say on this scripture passage is more of a traditional understanding of the Transfiguration. It comes from the early church fathers. The early church fathers said that Jesus gave the disciples a glimpse into this beautiful glory of Jesus. Without any question or doubt, this is the Son of God. They see him transfigured before them, and he becomes so bright, his clothes whiter than any fuller could make them, and he just shone like the sun. And then they see Moses and Elijah. I remember hearing Brent Petrie, a doctor of theology, they asked somebody, one of his students asked him, how did the disciples recognize who Moses and Elijah were? They never saw them before. And he said, by their beards. Of course, he was joking, but I thought of that because I no longer have my beard. But here we are. They see Jesus transfigured. They see these two figures of Jewish authority, Moses and Elijah, the chief lawgiver, the chief of all the prophets, there. And then if that weren't enough, the cloud descended and they hear the voice of God. "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And so the early church father said that God, or Jesus, gave this glimpse into his glory to prepare them for the scandal of the cross. I think it's hard sometimes for us to realize what a scandal it was for the disciples to see Jesus go to Jerusalem, be persecuted by the chief priests and the elders, to be arrested and to be tortured, you know, flogged, and then made to carry the cross and then see him nailed on the cross. In the Old Testament, there's a passage in the Old Testament that says, "Cursed is the man who is nailed to a tree." And so there's a scandal in Jesus' suffering. If he is the Son of God, he deserves all the dignity and respect that humanity has to offer. And yet here they see him treated so badly and then to endure the crucifixion. And so it's a scandal. Who can accept it? And maybe if they witness that, they might even begin to question, should we have listened to Jesus at all? And so the early church father said, Jesus allowed them to witness this transfiguration, to have a glimpse in his glory, to be a strength to them, so that when the persecution came, when Jesus was called to suffer, to die and be crucified to the tree, they would not lose faith because of what they had already witnessed, that glimpse into Jesus' glory. And so what a beautiful, caring thing that Jesus would do that for his disciple. How caring he is, that he's worried. What are they going to do when they experience the scandal of my passion. And so Jesus prepares them by giving him this beautiful gift before he enters into his passion. And as I think about that, I think, you know, each one of us has things that we suffer that become a scandal to us. Every one of you is suffering something in life. I have a niece who will never speak. She's 8 years old, and she needs constant care by my brother and his wife. And I think, you know, it's difficult sometimes to see that and then to say, you know, what about a caring, compassionate God? Why does he allow this suffering? And when we experience those kind of sufferings in life, I think it begins to scandalize us. And some people, if their faith isn't strong, they begin to lose what little faith they have. And they wonder, does God really exist? Why does he allow this pain or this suffering to exist in the world? And so this Feast of the Transfiguration is not only there to strengthen the disciples, but it's there to strengthen us as well. We, as Christians, have heard the message of the resurrection and that God can make all things right. When we look at the resurrection, we look at eternity with God in heaven. Sometimes we lose track of that and we focus on the suffering that we see here in the world and we forget that heaven is so much bigger than anything that we can suffer on this world. I think it was St. Thérèse of Lisieux who said, the soul who suffered all their life, more than any other soul in the history of mankind, that soul, upon entering heaven, all that life of suffering will seem like a bad night at an inconvenient hotel in comparison to the beauty and the joy and the bliss of heaven to come. And so we too need to think about heaven. We need to have those glimpses into the glory of God, the glory of the resurrection, so that we can be strengthened through the sufferings that we endure. When you look back over your life, I'm sure you can see times when God revealed himself to you so clearly, when you say, wow, I can't believe God did this for me. We need to hold on to those moments and to remember them, especially when our faith begins to be challenged. There's a story about a young girl when I was yet still a baby priest. I was very involved with our youth ministry program. And this young teenager, this girl, she gave her testimony. And she said that her family was always fighting. Her mother, her father, her brother, they were always at each other. And she never felt at peace. She wasn't feeling loved. And she decided that she didn't want to live anymore. And so she wanted to climb up on the roof of this house and throw herself down and commit suicide and end her suffering. And as she climbed up onto the roof of this house, she noticed that the sun was getting ready to set. And she thought to herself, you know, I've never watched the sun set. You know, I've seen sunsets, but I've never watched it set. And so she thought, before I do this, I'm going to watch the sun set one last time. And so as she sat there and she watched the sunset, God put on a show for her. The sky exploded in beautiful colors. And she began to cry and she thought, God, how beautiful. I can't believe I've never seen how much beauty is all around me and I never pay attention to you, God. And then she heard the voice in her heart, you're more beautiful than any sunset I've ever created. And she began to sob. And she climbed down from that roof and she decided that day that no matter how her brother treated her, no matter how much her parents fought, she was going to just show them the beauty that God showed her through her love. And that's what she did. And she said within a couple weeks, her whole family was transformed. I think it was St. Francis who said, if you could glimpse, you know what a glimpse is? You know, if you could glimpse just that little bit of how much God loves you, St. Francis said you'd become a saint. If we could glimpse God's love in its purity, we would become saints. God's love has the ability to transform the way we think and feel about ourselves and the way we think and feel about others. And so that's the joy of the Transfiguration. We need to remember those glimpses of glory that God shows us. And maybe you're suffering from something right now. Maybe you're questioning your own faith. Ask God to show you a glimpse of his love. And scriptures say, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. We all need to see and be reminded of the glory that's awaiting us after this earthly life. And it's that glory that will bring us so much joy, so much love, so much happiness. And it's that glimpse of those glories that will strengthen us for the scandal of suffering in our own lives. Amen.